Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church.
Well, it's just really, that got the biggest applause of the day. Okay, all right, I see where we're at, all right? Well, we're going to go ahead and dismiss our kids up to fifth grade to the back. They're going to go back with our awesome teachers and have some fun in our children's department. You guys can pick them up, their classrooms right down the stairs to the end of the hall to the right, and they're going to go hang out there. And we do want to let you guys know, next week we're going to be transforming our church, preparing for Christmas. And so on Saturday morning, Martha Ware is going to be leading a team here Saturday at 9 a.m. To put up some trees and some different lights and stuff to kind of decorate for Christmas. And we are going to have this ginormous, like 15-foot pre-lit Christmas tree that Walmart gave us a couple years ago that we're going to put in the back. And what we want to do this year, what we want you to do next Sunday, is we're going to have this huge pre-lit tree. We want each of your families to bring an ornament that represents your family to hang on that tree, because it's our family, our church family's Christmas tree. And so we would love it if next week you guys brought an ornament to hang up on the tree. It's going to be a really cool thing to have in the back of our room here, and so we hope you guys choose to be a part of that. I want to ask you a question this morning, and it's a question you're not going to like. Nobody likes hearing this question. Nobody likes answering this question. And this question is this: where are you going? There it is. Where are you going? Now, I know you don't like this question, all right? This is like the question your mom asks you when you're 20 and you can't make up your mind on what major you're going to be, right? And so no one likes to answer this question. Everybody feels pressured to tell something prolific, something that's important, something that has a lot of meaning and a lot of weight behind it. I don't want to know what answer you have, and I'm not here for you to give me an answer. I want you, though, to think about this question, because you have to know the answer to this question at all times. It's this question right here: where are you going? This is the question that helps you know where you're going in life. And it really, what it helps you discover is what your purpose is in this world. And you've got to know what your purpose is in this world. Where you're going determines that. And that's so very important. Because when you wake up in the morning, what is it that gets you up in the morning? What is it that helps you get up and know that you're doing something important today, that you're doing something great? What is your purpose in this life? Because if you don't know what your purpose is in this world, then really, what do you have? You've really got to be able to identify the answer to this question. And so this morning, I don't expect you to give me an answer. I want to help you discover the answer to this question, is what I want to help you discover. And the easiest way to determine the answer to this question, one of the best ways to determine where it is you're going, is to know who you're going with. A better way to put this is going to be on the screen. If you want to know what your future holds, look at the people that hold you. If you want to know what your future holds, look at the people that hold you. I truly believe, I've been doing this for a while now, if I took the people that you're closest to, the people who you call your friends, the people that you trust, the people that you confide in, if I could take those people and talk to them and interview them, I could probably get a pretty good idea about who you are and about where you're going in life. Because the people that you hold dear, the people that you confide in, the people that you hang out with, the people you spend your time with and your money with, those are the people that are determining where it is that you're going to go in the future. So as a matter of fact, I want you to just even take a second. I want you to get your phones back out. I know you just, this is like crazy. How many times in church have you ever been told to get your phone out? I want you to get your phone out real quick because this is going to help you. And I want you to look at your favorites. Look at your favorites. Look at your recent phone calls. Look at your text messages. Just real quick. Who are the people that you have in your life that you trust, that you confide in, that you talk to. Look at who those people are. Just kind of get them in your mind really quick. Who are those people in your life? Those people right there, those people that you talk to, that you confide in, that you spend your time with, that you spend your money with, that you allow in your home, who your kids play with, those are the people that hold the key to your future. They play a very, very important role in where you are going in life. You know, science has shown that people who are like-minded are attracted to each other. People who are like-minded will eventually find each other, and when they find each other, they will attach to one another. They will form a circle. They will form a tribe. They will become suddenly a team. And then those people will go and they will find other people who think like them and who are like-minded as them. And they will find more, and then they will attach to them, and then they will find another and they will attach to them. And all of a sudden, a tribe of people that are like-minded, that are connected by one thing, will suddenly form a group, will suddenly form a circle. I witnessed this sociological fact firsthand this week. Stephen and I went to SmackDown Live at the Enterprise Center, and we went and watched wrestling in box seats. And so Stephen let me know, I told you guys this a couple weeks ago, he had a friend that was coming, a client, and so we went and we picked up Randy, and we brought Randy. I've never met Randy before, but me and Randy had one thing in common. We loved wrestling, and so here we are. We're picking up Randy, and so we brought Randy with us, and then there was the guy that, it was the post-dispatch's box seats, and so the guy that is also Steven's friend who works for the post-dispatch, he met us there, and so he wasn't even American. He was British. We were blown away by his beautiful accent, and so all of a sudden, we became friends, and so the four of us who have never met each other before are all of a sudden talking. We're talking about our kids. We're talking about our families. We're becoming Facebook friends. All the four strangers totally connected by two things, our love of wrestling and our love of Steven. That was the only thing that we had in common. And then there were other people in the box seats as well. And then we all started to talk and we all became Facebook friends. And so all of these people suddenly became connected. Why? Because there was something that we all enjoyed. There was something that connected us, that suddenly made us a tribe that wanted to be together and enjoyed being together for the next 2.5 hours. Now, that can be a great thing, or that could be a bad thing. I mean, think about it for a minute. What that means is that optimistic people find optimistic people, which is really great. Adventurous people eventually find adventurous people, which is phenomenal. But it can also be a very bad thing at the same time, because that also means that depressed people find depressed people. Bitter people find bitter people. Angry people, they will find the other angry people, and they will form a tribe, and they will find a group, and guess what they'll do? They will be angry together. And so here's the thing I want you to think about this morning. Where are you going? Who are the people that you are going with? The people you are going with are partly determining where it is you're going. And so as you think about the people you are going with, are they taking you where you want to go? Because here's the thing you've got to understand. If you want forgiveness in your life, if you want to let go of the past and you want to experience forgiveness in your life, a bitter person isn't going to help you get there. If you want adventure in your life, if you want purpose and you want a life that is daring and risky and full of meaning, you are not going to find that with people who are only searching for security. And see, and that's the rub, and I think that's the dilemma that a lot of us face in our life, is we want a new life with the same people. We want a new life, and we want change. And we want to write a new chapter, and we want a new season. We want a new life so badly. We want better. We want more. But the problem is that we want to do it with the same people. And that just doesn't work. See, the thing that we have to understand is that if we want to go where we want to go, if we want a new life, if we want a life full of purpose, you're going to need certain people in order to get there. And you know what that means? That means that some of the people in your life, some of the people in your tribe, some of the people in your circle, they are actually going to hinder you from being able to get there. And it just doesn't work to want a new life, but to still travel with the same people. And that stinks, doesn't it? That's really hard at times, because what we know is that that means we might have to change some of the people that we're with. But that's what it takes, because here's the thing. No one on history, the people we celebrate, the people that we remember, the people that we honor, no one ever did anything great on their own. Every person who ever achieved a purposeful life, a meaningful life, greatness in their life, high amounts of success, those people did not do it alone. The only reason they were great, the only reason they were important, was because of the people that they had behind them. I grew up in the 90s, so I grew up watching religiously Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. I mean, the Chicago Bulls era. I mean, against the Jazz and all the many championships that they won, the many playoffs games that they played against Karl Malone. And I just remember those so vividly as a kid, being glued to the TV and watching the Bulls, you know, do their work. But everybody agrees that Michael Jordan is probably the greatest basketball player that ever lived. I mean, he was a legend. He's one of the most recognizable, markable people that there are on the face of this planet. But here's the thing. I truly believe this in all my heart. Michael Jordan was not great because he was Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was great because of the team that he had behind him. I mean, I remember as a kid memorizing all the players in the starting lineup. And I remember Tony Kukoc. I remember Steve Kerr. I remember Luke Longley. I remember Scottie Pippen. And who in the face of this planet could ever forget Dennis Rodman? I mean, he's the reason we haven't gone to nuclear war yet. I mean, Dennis Rodman was pivotal in Michael Jordan's career. But it was that team. And then let's not forget the greatest probably basketball coach that ever lived, Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson was there, who could make magic out of nothing. But Phil Jackson was there too. You cannot forget that. But I truly believe it was the team that he had. It was the Chicago Bulls. It was the supporting players that were behind him that actually made Michael Jordan great. If you disagree with that and you think, no, Michael made the Bulls, it wasn't the Bulls that made the Michael, I have one word for you: Wizards. Wizards. If anybody remembers Michael Jordan coming back for a 9th retirement with the Washington Wizards, Michael Jordan was not Michael Jordan with the Washington Wizards, was he? But it was his team. It was his supporting cast. It was the army of athletes and coaches and trainers that he had behind him. It was the Bulls that made Michael Jordan great. And here's the thing. You can have all the talent in the world. You can have everything in the world going for you. You could have all of the gifts and the possibilities and the breaks. But if you don't have the right people with you and behind you, it's impossible to achieve the life that you want to live. You have to have the right people behind you. You have to have a tribe. You have to have an army that is willing to take you where you want to go. And one of the places that we see this in the Bible, one of the places we see this in Jesus' family tree, is in a man named David. A lot of people have heard different stories about David, who eventually ended up becoming King David. But if you've ever read it before, David was this boy, young man, who was a musician. He was a shepherd. He was had all of these different skills, all these different things going for him. And then at that time, when he was a young boy, there was King Saul, who ruled over the Israelites. But one day the Philistines, the terrible, horrid Philistines, threatened their kingdom and threatened to invade. And if you remember, the great monster, the Philistine Goliath, came onto the field and challenged. And all of the Israelites and all of God's people, they were afraid to death of Goliath, except for one person, and that was David. And David, he stepped out and he challenged Goliath and he slayed
Goliath, and he decapitated Goliath. And at that time, if you've just read that part, you remember how grateful Saul was. But if you've never read in between that area what happens to David in that time, I'll give you some quick notes. What ends up happening is David becomes very, very popular. Super popular. In fact, he was so unpopular, King Saul felt threatened. Oh no, somebody's taking my light. Somebody's in my spotlight. Somebody's taking all of the attention away. As a matter of fact, they may want David to be their king instead of me. And so Saul actually tried to kill David. But one of Saul's sons loved David so much because he just had it all, and he was so tremendous that he warned David. And so David actually runs away from home. And David goes and he becomes a nomad. He has to run for his life from King Saul. And he actually ends up living in a hole, a cave, and he stays there. And when he's threatened, he just moves to another hole. He moves to another cave. And so this was the opportunity. And so the Philistines, they came back again. And the Philistines once again threatened the kingdom. And they actually found Saul and his sons, and they killed all of them. Killed Saul, killed Saul's family. And so there's no king, there's no place for anyone to rule. And so the people, they needed somebody, and who do you think they turned to? I said, you know who we need? We need David back. And so they go and they find David. And I want you to read what's recorded in First Chronicles. First Chronicles, it's this Old Testament recording of what the stories of the king. Second Chronicles would cover David's son Solomon, but First Chronicles talks about the stories of the kings and how David came to be King David. And there's something really specific that I found in my devotions a while ago that just caught my eye, that got me thinking about the people that come with us. And this is what he says in First Chronicles. It says, day after day, men came to help David until one day he had a great army, like the army of God. These are the numbers of the men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him as the Lord had said. Here's what I think is amazing about this, is David was stuck. I mean, with all of the talent that he had, with all of the breaks that he had, with all of the skills that he had, all of the charm that he had, the fact of the matter is he had everything in the world, but he still was stuck. He still was stuck in a cave. He still was stuck in a hole. And he probably felt abandoned, and he probably felt alone, and he probably felt like he couldn't do anything about it. And then one day, what ends up happening through a turn of events is God begins to send people to David. And they come to him in this cave and in this hole. And it says day by day, person after person after person, the numbers, they came and they were armed for battle. They were ready and they were prepared for what needed to be done. And what needed to be done is that David needed to be king. David needed to take this place and take control and be their leader. And so one by one, they came to David and they said, David, you're our king now. You have to be our king. We are going to come alongside of you and we want you to be our king and we are ready. And they came to him and they came ready to turn over Saul's kingdom to him. Here's what's amazing about that is one by one, they came and they said, David, it's time to get out of this hole. It's time for you to be who you were created to be. It is time for you to fight, and it is time for you to take back your home, and it is time for you to be who God created you to be. And we are the people, we are your army that are willing to help you get there. Here's what I want you to know this morning, and here's what you have to believe, is that God has an army ready for you. God has an army of people planned for you. God has friends, and some of them you may not have even met yet, but he has people in mind, people he is trying to get you to intersect with, that he wants to come alongside of you and says, hey, you know what? It's time to get out of this hole. It's time to get out of this cave. And I am here. God has called me to you to help you become who you were created to be. I'm here. God has sent me. And there are people who are ready to come alongside of you and help you to go home, who help you, want to help you become the person you were created to be. There are people that want to come alongside of you and they want to help you fight for your marriage. There are people that want to come alongside of you and help you fight the bad news that you get from the doctor. When you find out you need surgery, when you find out you have cancer, God has people planned and ready to come alongside of you and say, you are not alone in this. I am here with you and I'm going to help you and we are going to get you to where you need to go. God has sent me to be that for you. God has an army ready for you. People that he wants to pull alongside of you in your darkest season of life, in your most difficult season of life, and say, come on, it's time to get out of this hole. It's time for us to help you be who you were created to be. I know this because I've lived it firsthand. When Kate and I were in Nebraska, we knew 7 years ago, really, that God wanted us to start a church. We knew early on that it was time for us to not live a safe life full of guarantees, but it was time for us to go start a church, that this is who we were called and created to be. And so we began to put feelers out there and talk to different groups of people that may want to join us in this adventure. And I remember we would sneak out on weekends away from Nebraska, and we would find ways to get to places and meet with people really quickly and then fly back in time for Saturday night service. And so we went to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and we talked to people in Kansas City looking for a group of people who would come alongside of us and join us in this adventure. And again and again and again, no one seemed like they were all in. Nobody seemed like they wanted to live a dangerous life. Nobody wanted to leave safety. And so again, we said, well, that's not the group. That's not the group. That's not the group. And then a group of 8 people here in Troy were going to another church in O'Fallon that was partners with us, called and said, we're thinking about wanting to plant a church in Troy. Will you come out and talk to us? And we knew when we met with that group of people, as we heard their story, as we listened to their heart, that this was the group, this was the army that God had been preparing for us for a year to help us come in Troy. And these were the group of people who were going to help me become who I needed to be able to answer the call in my life. And then all of a sudden, God just gives me these terrific people. He gives me the Wares, and he gives me the Tallies, and he gives me the Dillos, and I meet the Stobarts for the first time. And God begins to send me everything that I need. And then season after season, time after time, there was even a period a few years ago where things seemed their darkest, where things seemed like, oh man, this ship, it may go down. And all of a sudden, my phone rings, and it's the Allreds. It's Carrie in Kansas City. And she literally tells me, hey, do you need any help? Because I think God is calling me to Troy. And so if you need any help, I think I'm coming. And so she comes. And then season after season, as things change, as we have lived out our story and been called to our mission here in Troy, God has always sent me the right people. And he sent me new people. And he sent me people during the right seasons. And God has always given me the people that I needed to be able to achieve what he's called me to do, to be able to become who it is God created me to be. And I believe in all my heart that God is calling you for the same. That God has an army of people that he is trying to send you, that he wants to send you, that he's planning to send you to help you become who you need to be able to fight through this season of life or an upcoming season of life that you're going to go through. And there are going to be people who are going to surround you and put their hand out to you when you're down in that hole and say, come on, it's time to get out of this hole. It's time to fight. It's time to take back what we think is lost, because it's not lost. It's still ours, and it's still ours to have. And this marriage is still worth it. Your kids can still make it. And this cancer will not have the final word. And so we are here to fight alongside of you. But here's the thing. That is going to take some decisions from you. Because the thing is that may mean that you need to make some trades and your circle. The people that you saw on your phone, the people that you confide in, the people that you call your tribe of friends, your squad, are they really the people who are helping you become who it is that you want to become? Are they the people who are really going to help you get out of the hole when you're stuck? Or are they the people that are going to tell you, well, that's life. That's what guys do. Well, half the marriages don't work anyway. A lot of people get divorced. We got divorced. Yeah, well, that's kids today. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. The people that you have in your tribe now, the people that you have in your squad, are they truly the people who are going to help you become who it is that you want to be? And see, I think the thing that a lot of us deal with, and probably the place that you are right now, is that a lot of us, when we are left in our cave, we find comfort in the cave eventually. I mean, David had to have had that temptation to say, you know what? Well, this is my life now. I'm a nomad. I have no home. I will never be able to go back to where I once was. And so this is life now, and I'm just going to have to accept that because this is my life. And I think a lot of us, the reason we've never thought about this is because we have found comfort in our cave. A lot of us have found comfort in our depression. A lot of us have found comfort in our sucky marriage. A lot of us have found comfort in debt. A lot of us have found comfort in obesity. A lot of us have found comfort in having high blood pressure or being unhealthy. A lot of us have found comfort in just being average. A lot of us have found comfort in not being employed. We just go, well, that's life. A lot of people have to do this. This happens. And so this is me, and this is my story now. And I am pleading with you, please, do not live in a cave for the rest of your life. Do not learn to call a hole home, because that is not what God created you for. God did not intend for you to live in a cave of depression. God did not intend for you to have a marriage full of infidelity and addiction and hate. God did not call for you to live a life where you feel comfortable with the past that hurt you and abused you and to just live with it. God did not call for you to have a life to live in indebtedness and full of credit cards up to your eyeballs. That is not the life that God called you to live. He wants to give you more than that, and he wants you to make you the king that he knows you can be. But here's the thing. You've got to find the right people that are going to help you get out of that hole, and you are going to have to get rid of some people who are helping you dig that hole even deeper, because those people are not helping you become the people that you were created to become. And you need a squad, and you need a tribe of people that are going to help you be who you were created to be. And that's really hard, because again, like I said, we want to do this with the same people, but sometimes we can't. Sometimes when people don't want the same thing as us, we've got to make hard choices. And that's the thing. If you want to go somewhere, you're going to need people to get there. And David, he had those people. Those people came alongside of him, and they became his army, and they helped him become the King David that he meant it. Now, let's flip this around. That's like part one of the sermon. Just chew on that for a while. From your response, it seems to be like hitting something. Either that or you're bored. I don't know. But let's flip this around for a minute. God is sending you an army to help you become who he created you to become, who he wants you to be, who he knows you can be. But here's the other part of this. Life is not all about you, okay? Life is not all about your dreams and your aspirations. At the same time, as you think about this, you also have to think about this. As God is sending you the people you need in order to get to where you need to go, you also need people, but people also need you. And you cannot just be the person who is served. You cannot just be the person who is gathered around and supported. Here's the thing. King David, He became King David. He became a great king. But when he became a great king, he used that position and he used his power in order to pour back into the people that poured back into him. And at the same time, David was in the army supporting other people as well. And that's the thing that we are also called to do. You cannot just be the person who is poured into. You must also join somebody else's army and come alongside other people. And you must be in the army that pours into somebody else. That's the balance of the life that we're called to live. A lot of people leave churches. A common reason that I hear, and people who've even left our church in the many years that we've been here. And the thing that the pastor hears or that I hear is they say, well, we just weren't feeling connected. We just didn't feel connected. You know, nobody talked to us. Nobody called us. Let me tell you, that's not our job, okay? That's not our job. Our job here is not just to connect you, okay? If you come in here just wanting to be poured into and supported and loved, we'll do that. There's an army of people here who are willing to do that. But here's the thing. If you just want to be the receiver, but you don't want to give anything, I'm sorry. There's a word for that in relationships. It's called abuse, okay? When you expect to be poured into, but you don't want to give or reciprocate the same, that's called abuse. And so here's the thing. If you come in and you say, you know, in anything, if you come into a job, if you come into a church, or if you come into a new family dynamic after getting married, and you say, well, geez, I just don't feel connected because I just, people aren't giving me what I want. I mean, they're giving me a little, but then they kind of stop and they're not giving me enough. I want more, I want more, I want more. Well, here's the thing. What are you giving back to them? Because connection comes through a relationship. And a relationship is not just about taking. It's about giving. My wife makes fun of me. She says, you're like a teenage girl because you can talk on the phone with your friends. I say, well, that's sexist and you shouldn't say that anymore. But she does. She makes fun of me because I can talk to my friend Trent from Nebraska. I can talk to Trent easily for over an hour on the phone. And yeah, we are like little teenage girls. We giggle and all kinds of stuff. It's really fun. But she makes fun of me. But then also at the same time, she makes fun of me because she's jealous of me. She's told me, she said, you know, I used to have friends like that. I remember in college, I had friends like that. And I tease you, but I wish I had a relationship like that. I wish I had somebody I could talk on the phone to for an hour and I could share as much as you and Trent share. I wish I had that. And I said, well, you know, there's a secret actually to our relationship. Do you want me to teach you the secret? She said, yeah, tell me what the secret is. I said, well, it's really simple. It's really easy to remember. See, sometimes he picks up the phone and he calls me and we talk. And then other times I pick up the phone and I call him. Ta-da! Mind blown, right? So if you want friends like that, pick up the phone. I can't pick up the phone. Well, what do you want them to do? I want them to call me. Well, see, you can't have that. That's not a relationship. See, if you want somebody to come alongside of you and be your army, then you've got to also be an army to somebody else. And that's what Trent and I have had in our friendship, is there have been seasons where I have not had much to give, but Trent has emptied himself to me. And Trent has listened to me. And Trent has allowed me to talk. And Trent has allowed me to whine. And Trent has helped me overcome what I needed to overcome. But there have also been times where Trent has not had anything to give. And I've been okay with that. And I have poured myself into Trent. And I have been the one to call Trent. And I have been the one to ask the questions. And I have been the one to push the question. Because I know there have been days and seasons where Trent needed me. And it didn't need to be about me. And it couldn't be about me. It had to be about Trent. And that's a thing. You've got to learn this lesson in life. You've got to know how to treat people. Because you need an army to get where you need to go. But there's also somebody, probably in this room, who needs you to be on their army. To help them become who they were created to be. To come alongside of them. And to be connected, not because they pour into you, but because you have a relationship that pours back and forth into each other. And that's a thing I want you to know, that it's just is anchored hope, because it's part of genuine relationship and genuine friendships here. Is that if you come in and you want to be connected, the easiest way to become connected here is ask, how can I help? Because this isn't a church that's just going to pour into you. It's a church that wants to pour into you and wants to be your army. But here's the thing, the best way to feel connected, the best way to feel a part of a family is when you give back. When you say, you know what? How can I help? What can I do? How can I serve? And again, this translates in many places. You go to your job, you want to move up, you want to be popular at your job, you want to be everybody's friend. Here's the easiest way to do it. Go find somebody and say, what can I do to help? How can I help you? What are you trying to do today? Well, what can I do? Because when people know that you're willing to come alongside of them and be their army and be who they need to be and help them get out of that hole, I guarantee you that they are going to be way, 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 way more open to pouring back into you. And Jesus really modeled this for us. He showed this to us. You know, when he came and found his disciples, he found 12 people to pour into. But all throughout his ministry, he told his disciples, you need to go pour into somebody else. I am not just here for you. You've got to learn to go and feed the hungry. You've got to go and learn to perform miracles. You need to take this bread and you need to take this cup and you need to do this in remembrance of me. But don't just stay in your little circle. Go and find others. And that's the beautiful thing about being part of a church family. And a lot of people who walk this world who think that they can be a follower of Jesus and not belong to a church home. I'm telling you right now, that's impossible. You cannot be a follower of Jesus on your own. It was never designed to be that way. And the great thing about being a part of a church is that there's one thing that draws us all here, that connects us all, that makes us like-minded, one thing, and that is that we are trying to find purpose in this life. We're trying to find out how to make our marriages work. We're trying to provide a life for our kids that has more hope and less hurt than what we had. We're trying to learn to be the people that we were created to be. And here at this church are people who want to be a part of your army. And we want to help you become who God created you to be. I want to help you become who God created you to be. But at the same time, you need to become part of this army that is trying to accomplish the mission of leading people to a growing relationship with Jesus. And we need you to be part of our army. We need you to be a part of our army that's trying to accomplish the affordable Christmas shop. And around here, it's great because we gather on Sunday mornings and we come here today, but then we also have groups. And I don't know about you who have been in groups the last 4 weeks, but I have loved my group. This is our first week off this Wednesday night, and I am actually disappointed that we do not get to meet. Because not only do I have this church, but I have an even smaller group that allows me to be myself, that allows me to explore my faith, that it prays for me and listens to me, and that I can have come alongside of me no matter what I'm going through. And you all need that too. But you've got to be willing to come out of that cave. No one here, no one on this planet can help you unless you're willing to take off the mask, drop the facade, stop trying to act like a perfect mom or a perfect dad or a perfect professional who has their life all together, because you're not. You know it, and we know it, because we know we're not. And you've got to be willing to come out of that cave. Who is in your tribe right now? Do the people that have you helping you get to what you want to have? And who are you pouring yourself into? Whose army have you joined lately? Who are you helping get to where they need to be? Because not only do you need an army, but you need to be a part of someone else's. Let me pray for you this morning. God, this morning, I want to thank you so much for your lesson this morning, the lesson that you give us through David. God, this morning, as you have spoken to us, you've kind of left us with a challenge and question. Where is it that we're going? And God, this morning, we may not know the answer to that exactly, but God, we can get a good, pretty good sense of where it is we're going by looking at the people that we have in our life, by looking at the people who hold us, by looking at the people who are in our squad and in our tribe, who are our most trusted friends. God, this morning, I pray that you would help us evaluate what kind of people we need in our life to help us become who it is that we were created to be, who it is that you want us to be, God. God, will you help us to reach our potential? Will you help us to not settle for average? Will you help us to be able to reach and grab hold and take the throne that you've planned for us? But God, at the same time, almost more challenging than that, God, some of us live a selfish life. We admit that. We pray that to you. And God, some of us, we constantly look for people to pour into us. But God, this morning, you've helped us realize that we also need to be pouring into someone else. And so God, this morning, would you help us to become connected with the tribe, with the squad, with the family that we can pour into? Will you help us find somebody? Maybe it's someone we already know. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody in this very room. Will you help us to find someone else that we could help? Somebody that we could reach down to into their hole in their cave and say, you know what? I'm here to help you. It's time to get out of here. It's time to get out of this cave. It's time to no longer be depressed. It's time to no longer be abused. It's time to no longer be angry. It's time to no longer battle with forgiveness. It's time to let go of your past. It is time to become who you were created to be. And I'm here to help you do that. I'm yours. You tell me what you need me to do. Tell me how I can help you. Tell me how I can serve you. Because God, that is what we were called to do. So God, will you help us to live that out today? God, we love you so much. We thank you. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today. We hope that you can make it to one of our Sunday morning experiences at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Don't forget to check out our website, www.anchoredhope.church. You can also give online very easily and conveniently. We'd love to have your support on our mission to lead people to a growing relationship with Jesus.